If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Errol Schweitzer is a retail merchandising, product development, and brand strategy expert. It is true. You track the prices in Chicago. How much more are we paying, Errol?
Well, not just in Chicago, but across the country, we're probably paying between 30 and 40% more for groceries this year than we were in 2019.
30 to 40% more. Holy smokes. And what's the driving reason?
Well, it's a little complicated, so let me explain. First of all, in the last few years, we've had some big things happening. We've had the COVID-19 pandemic. We've had the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We've had climate-related catastrophes affecting crop prices. But what's going on as well as that is that there's huge market concentration of the food industry in the United States across the board, whether it's in retail or in Chicago. The top three grocers control over 50% of market share of all sales of grocery products, or on grocery shelves themselves, where in many categories, whether it's yogurt, soft drinks, snack foods, beef and poultry, you have maybe three or four companies that monopolize 60, 70, 80% of sales. And what happens when you have that level of market concentration, it creates a non-competitive environment. And so when there's a sort of crisis like COVID-19 or the war, that they're able to take additional costs above and beyond what they received from their producers or their suppliers so they can make extra margins. And so a lot of the price inflation that we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years has been driven by the pricing power of market share dominating companies that were using these crises to increase their profits. In many cases, record profits for years in a row, where we had record profit margins, where there was record shareholder buybacks and dividends for many companies in the food industry. And the result is, our food prices have gone up 30, 40, 50%. I'll give you one example. There is a class action lawsuit filed by both restaurateurs as well as small independent retailers against the top four processors of one of my favorite foods, French fries and tater tots. And so four processors control over 80% of all production of frozen potatoes. Their prices went up probably around 70% in the last 5 years. And that's an estimate across the board. And so a number of people who were buying these frozen potatoes, including grocers and bar owners, said, hold up. Yeah. This ain't right. Because, yes, potato prices did go up a bit. And even, you know, potato chip prices went up a bit. But 60%, 70%. So this is the type of price setting power that market concentrating monopolies have, and it's the key reason why our prices have gone up. And then one other quick fact is that in economic theory, and I'm no economist, I'm just a grocery nerd, I never took an economics class, but in economic theory, it's supposed to be demand that spurs on inflation because there's more demand for products, setting prices higher in the marketplace. Well, in most cases in the food industry since 2019, for a variety of reasons, including the higher prices, flatline demand or lower demand. And that includes many consumable categories, snack foods. I mean, meat prices have spurred huge drops in demand in meat, and can't blame Impossible Burger for that either. And so we've seen a flatlining or actual decrease in demand in many consumable categories. And this is data that I have based on syndicated retail data that it was provided to me by Nielsen IQ. So this is actually what people are buying. And this is what's happening in the market right now.
And we see that with grocery stores. We were talking about the Kroger merger and how that was pushed back. And our attorney general was one of many AGs who filed a lawsuit against that because lower competition in the grocery store market means higher prices for us. And Meanwhile, we see that they're closing Mariano's, many of them, four of them in the next few months here in the Chicagoland area. And in the Kroger earnings report, they said we stand to see a modest financial increase. That's what it's about. It's about the bottom line. These guys making more money, and that's what's making us pay bigger prices.
Well, Kroger and Albertsons are a great example. Albertsons being the owner of Jewel-Osco, Kroger being the owner of Mariano's. Combined, they've set about $25 billion in shareholder buybacks and dividends over the last several years. And this was a report called Bullies at the Table that was put together just a few months ago to show that they've been actively taking money out of the stores to pay out Wall Street. And what that means is there's been understaffing and lower staffing in the stores. There's been, you know, the shopping conditions haven't been great. They haven't been investing in remodels. Now to the point now where those stores are not competitive, and they're, you know, really Aldi and Walmart are eating their lunch. And so they've had to close a number of these stores. Kroger alone is saying they're closing 60 stores. And I've been saying this is a self-inflicted wound driven by shareholder primacy, that they're paying out these huge dividends to shareholders as well as executives at the expense of customers who are paying higher prices, but also employees who are not getting as many hours as they used to, or their wages are not keeping up with inflation. So, yeah, we're seeing a lot of that right now.
Have you looked at individual items and what items might have really dramatically risen in price? Carm, who's on the show today, was complaining about fresh Oju. Why do I keep saying Oju? I don't know why I say that instead of OJ.
But a new one.
But he paid $10. And Carm, how much was that for? Was it for a quart?
I think it's a quart. The biggest OJ fresh squeeze at Mariano's was $10. I swear that was like used to be $6. If you go to, you know, some of the more expensive grocery stores, it's like 15. I'm like, how much can it be to squeeze out orange juices or OJ, you know, oranges that are not being used that turns into that? But the prices have gone significantly up.
Do you have specific
items? You never know
items?
How much is being driven by the producers themselves. And yes, oranges have gone up in cost due to climate issues, due to citrus greening, which has really hurt the Florida crop. What we don't have full visibility to is how the wholesalers have passed those prices on to the retailers, how those retailers are passing those price increases onto the consumers. And what I've been documenting, what others have documented, is that in many cases, and I don't know specifically about the prices you saw at your store, but in many cases, folks have been skimming additional margin, and there's been record profits for many companies in the grocery industry. I'm not talking about the local independent. I'm not talking about, you know, the bodega or the corner store, who in many cases have higher costs from their suppliers because those suppliers are giving much lower costs to the bigger chains like Walmart. Walmart is like 30% of the grocery business. So there's a range of issues with that. And once again, at the heart of it is that there's price inflation at different levels of the supply chain. They're taking advantage of actual existing issues such as citrus greening, climate change, and constrained supply in oranges. So that's what you're seeing now, to the point now where demand is down. Because what happens when orange juice is $10 or $15, we're like, yeah, no, I don't think I need that today.
Right. Yeah.
And that's called price or demand elasticity. And you buy less of it. And that's what, you know, I'm pointing out here. So, yeah, you're getting that in a lot of products with chocolate and cocoa. You know, the confections are going up in price because the cocoa crop has been hit really hard. Coffee prices, likewise, coffee and cocoa sort of grow in the same areas around the world, and then they've been hit by drought and other climate issues.
Look, I think we understand that.
Oh,
I think most consumers, though, feel, Errol, that, yes, these issues are driving price increases, but I also feel like everybody wants to take advantage of the situation, make a little more money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so the question is this going to continue, or will we see any leveling off?
I've been pointing out the Trump administration is doing everything wrong when it comes to prices, whether it's the tariff trade war insanity, which you can never tell what they're doing and what it's going to impact. But I'll just say, like with packaging, for instance, you know, with aluminum, or steel, you know, a lot of that is imported. That's going to affect thousands of products across the store. The other issue is immigration and this crackdown on essential workers, this really violent crackdown on folks literally picking our food or processing our food, and they're not showing up to work. Crops are being left in the ground. This is something that could actually collapse our food system because we are so dependent. The vast majority of folks picking our food, the vast majority of folks who milk cows are migrant, immigrant labor, in many cases undocumented. So you have that, and then you have the fact that they've announced huge cuts to SNAP, food assistance, and WIC, as well as Medicaid, particularly SNAP. That means that prices are essentially going up, or people are not going to be able to stretch their dollar who are dependent on those. And the reason why so many people are on SNAP is that most folks don't make a living wage. You know, we have very low wages relative to cost of living in this country. So those are three big issues. But I'll point out the other thing is still market concentration and the price setting power of monopolies. And we have an FTC, a Federal Trade Commission now, which is really not going to do much. The, you know, Wall Street's not afraid of this FTC like they were of Lina Khan a couple of years ago, who kind of really didn't do too much, but she did enough to actually spook them, including, you know, putting some stuff out there to prevent the Kroger Albertson.
Right. And that has been a big issue here in Chicagoland.
That has been a big one.
Hey, yeah. I want to have you back on. We're up against news time, so we got to go. But we look forward to having a conversation again in the future. Thanks for all the numbers and all the research.
Anytime. Take care.